Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Great emphasis is given in the New Testament for evangelism. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. In Romans 10, verse 13 through 17, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word of God. Acts 8 and verse 4 reads, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 instructs, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, these are verses that stress evangelism. Evangelism is going and telling the story of Jesus Christ. We hear people say sometimes, we can evangelize the world in our generation. And so we can. We have the means, we have the methods, we have the money, we have the members. That which is often lacking is the desire and the determination and the will to do that work. To the extent that that is lacking, we shall not evangelize the world. But there is something else that must precede the means and the methods, the money and the men, even the will. And this is the burden of this particular lesson. We're told that religion is losing its influence in our world, especially in our American society. And there are some that brag and boast of this. This, of course, is disturbing, and we believe it is, to a large degree, very true. It is realistic to recognize it. The religious revival that followed World War II has subsided. It has waned away. In its place has come a definite moral decline and laxity in behavior that bears deadly fruit every day. It makes one wonder if there was much genuineness in the fervor of the so-called revival. Increasing numbers are being taught and accepting the denial of the existence of God. Secular humanism is dominating the educational scene. Churches have lost members and membership is declining. Those who are experiencing growth, especially among churches of Christ, are those who have gone the way of the denominational fashions of fun and food and frolic, entertainment and recreation, or cultism even. The depth of spirituality seems to be so shallow. There is a craving for the emotional and the moving, but not the converting and conforming to the Lord's standards. The influence of God-fearing people has lessened, and it is evident everywhere. Some are even talking in terms of a post-Christian era. What we often see today that is called a Christianity, of course, is nothing but a human perversion of it. In too many instances, we only see a few twitchings of dying muscles that have lost its grip on things. One poll informs us that 70% of America's teenagers have made up their minds not to have any kind of religion. This they have been taught by the schools and over television, and by some political and sports celebrities by word and by deed. You see, they have adopted "do your own thing" to be their standard in life. Now, some say Christianity will not die, and they are right. But the reason for saying so is often wrong. The church shall prevail eternally, but history shows that truth has been suppressed in the past, and sometimes over long spans of time. What of those millions who will never hear and know God's message? Do we care that they will likely be our own descendants? The Dark Ages ruled the affairs of the world for centuries. What is there to keep that from being repeated when we are going the same way? The reason we are Christians is because those before us saw the need to evangelize, to go and to tell the story. Those who come after us are dependent upon us doing the same thing. Christianity is but one generation from practical extension. There is no doubt that evangelism is the need of our day. Now, there are three factors that must exist before there will be an effective evangelistic activity. It begins with the church. "These things write I unto you," Paul said, "hoping to come to thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Friend, the primary work of the church is preaching the gospel. It is the spreading of the word. It is generally conceded, by both friend and foe alike, that the religious people set the moral and spiritual level in a community. Unfortunately, this has been some of the problem. The moral and spiritual level has gone down and down and down because many church members have compromised with the world, have become less and less militant, unwilling to take a stand lest they offend somebody, lest they place their material welfare in danger. So many church people have either joined the world or have chosen to become passive and timid about what is right and what is wrong. A church that merely reflects the desires and the ambitions of the community and merely gives additional expression to the culture and the level of the morals of the community is of no value to the cause of Christ because it has nothing to offer. It really has no right to be called a church of Christ, to be sure. Many churches today have become little more than respectable religious clubs that as often as not give blessings to whatever members are doing as they are meeting the demands of Christianity as authorized of God when they are not. This is a widespread weakness in churches today. Sub-churches can never attract sinful humanity because there's not enough difference between them and the world. A major charge against religion today is the inconsistency of those who are involved in it. Anti-church movements prosper because church members give them all the ammunition they need to grow. Too many have a form of godliness, but not Christ-likeness. The doctrine of Christ is in compromise to satisfy the clamoring of the theologians and the seminary-trained clergymen. The worldly-minded have a haven in many churches. Drinking and dancing and adultery and cheating, immodesty, materialism can all be found in a great array among many churches. The frivolity and foolishness of emotionalism has displaced conversion. Fewer and fewer even know the cost of Christian living, let alone display a willingness to submit to it. Effective evangelism begins when those who call themselves Christians are truly a body of people with faith and convictions that cannot be moved. People who have separated themselves from the sins of this world, whose mind is set on things above, who are disciplined and trained and informed and directed by the Bible, and who dare to stand up and be counted. But a second necessity for effective evangelism is the proclamation of the mighty Savior. Jesus can be described in many ways, such as a noble example, a master teacher, a miracle worker. But only when he is proclaimed as the Savior of mankind by virtue of being the Son of God is there to be effective evangelism. Salvation of the spirit of man is the message that must be preached, and Christ is the only Savior. The world is not in need of better philosophy, more majestic church buildings or paved parking lots and air-conditioned so-called sanctuaries. It's not in need of the so-called fellowship halls and gymnasiums. It needs a Savior. The world needs a guide in life, and a warning of eternity. Mankind wants to go his own way, but he needs more than simple reform. He needs to be reborn. We do not need the so-called new morality, which is nothing more than immorality. We do not need the paltry excuses and the explaining away of sin, the psychological sedatives and the removal of individual responsibility before God for our lives. We need the humble confession of dependence on God, the acknowledgement of our lost condition in sin, the gaping jaws of an eternal hell, but that there is one Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16, and attempts to woo and to win by playgrounds and sensationalism, entertainment, oratory, and the cream of wheat sermonettes, it's a waste of time. It's an opium to the mind. The cross is the attraction that must be presented. If that is not sufficient, then those who reject it seal their own doom in spite of all that God and man can do. It is the truth that makes the alcoholic quit drinking, and the prostitute to clean her life, and the broken homes to be healed, the wrecked lives remade, and the delinquents behaved. Some churches today have the finest buildings, every convenience, big staffs, all kinds of methods and means of communication. And what are they doing with them? Many are simply telling pretty stories and letting people think all is well, when actually hell awaits them because they have not obeyed God. And in recent years, some so-called churches of Christ have just gone bananas over methods and have forgotten the message. With all the advantages of modern technology and communication, still the world grows worse and worse, and the distortions of truth multiply. Those who have the great commission to take the story to the world have been sidetracked in the pursuit of money and numbers and glamour. They want to be accepted by the world, and have generally neglected the real task of evangelism. Much energy and effort of God's people in recent years has been expended shoring up its own defenses from attacks within by liberals and modernists. Oh, the collegiate element has swallowed the digressive teaching gained from denominational seminaries and schools, and these schools have become primary centers for the promotion of apostasy. While a few years ago the churches of Christ were known as a Bible-centered people, today when you see a sign denoting a church of Christ, you have no real idea just what might be meeting there anymore. Digression and apostasy has taken a deadly toll. Churches have the greatest message men can hear, the changeless, timeless, saving Word of God. Its voice must be distinctive, and not just another echo of the same kind being poured out by denominationalism. We must call men from the darkness of sin into his light, not just make them feel good about themselves, or pacify their troubled minds over the affairs of the day, and give them a good time with trivia. The truth preached is the only way to evangelize the sinful world. As Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified." Friend, anything less than "thus saith the Lord" amounts to nothing. There must be a burdened heart and a concerned spirit within the child of God for there to be effective evangelism. We can be orthodox in word and have an uncaring attitude, and the job of evangelism will never be done. We can become so obsessed with show before the eyes of others that we lose the attitude of Paul, who was willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ and the salvation of souls, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. And this may be one of our biggest problems. Noah's very soul was vexed because of the sinfulness around him, 2 Peter 2 and verse 8. He was distressed about it, and he preached God's righteousness. No, he did not convert many, did he? He saved only his family. How many of us will do as much? We can study means and methods about evangelism all we want, and never amount to anything regarding it. It is all too evident that we need to go to the heart of the matter and build again a converted church that will care enough for souls to preach the word. We must look within if we're ever going to activate an effective evangelism. If and when we will do that, there will someday means and methods will seem to be more appropriate and can be applied with a greater effectiveness. Yes, the work of evangelism, that's the work of the child of God. May each one concern ourselves with this primary task. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.